Morning, everybody. As you can see, we're still in the Christmas season. You know, Christmas is such a big feast that it's too big to get into one day. So that's why we have 12 days of Christmas. And this is the sixth day of Christmas. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me what? Very good. You can pick up your six geese on the way home. Let's say hello to each other, find out how we're doing here. Okay, just relax for a minute. Just take a nice breath of air. Breathe in the Spirit. And as you breathe out, drop your shoulders, let go of your worries, and just be at peace. Thank you so much, God, for bringing us here today. Thank you for this Christmas season. Thank you for the good people that we're with. We look forward to your message. Open our hearts to your love so that we can be more loving ourselves, so that we can make our city better and make our world better. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Mark Potter is our preacher today. Susan is our signer. And we're going to hear the readings. Lou and Jim are the readers.
Good morning and Happy New Year. First readings from the book of Sirach. God sets a father in honor over his children and upholds a mother's authority over her sons and daughters. Respect your father and you atone for sin. Revere your mother and you accrue great wealth. Children are the reward for those who respect their parents, and their prayers will always be heard. Those who esteem their father will live a long life. Those who comfort their mother are obeying God. My children, care for your parents when they are old. Grieve them not as long as they live. Even if their minds fail, be considerate of them. Revile them not all the days of their lives. Kindness to your parents will never be forgotten, and it will make reparation for your sins. The Word of God. The response is, blessed are those who walk in God's ways. Blessed are those who walk in God's ways. Blessed is everyone who reveres the Lord, who walks in God's ways, for you shall eat the fruit of your handiwork. Blessed shall you be and favored. Blessed are those who walk in God's ways. Your spouse shall be like a fruitful vine in the recess of your home. Your children like olive plants around your table. Blessed are those who walk in God's ways. Behold, thus is the one blessed who reveres God. May God bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Blessed are those who walk in God's ways.
Morning. Listen well to the second reading. We can all learn something. Second reading is from the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also do. And over all these, put on love. That is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of the Lord control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. The word of God.
That first reading Lou read was what I call the reading of the elbows. So when every parent goes, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? To their teenagers. Peace be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of his teachers, listening to them, asking questions, and all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and Mary said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." Jesus said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and the people. The Gospel of the Lord. When I was a child, both sets of my grandparents moved to Ocala, Florida. They did visit Rochester often, but once a year, usually during spring break from school, my family would load up in the huge Chevy Suburban we had to drive south to visit them. It was my parents, my four siblings, my brother's up in the balcony here, and you might imagine what it was for my four siblings and my parents to drive 20 hours down to Florida with kids ranging from ages 1 to 16. Arranging the seating in the Chevy Suburban was interesting at best. I liken it to choosing a new password for a website login. You know how that goes. It has to be 8 characters. It has to include one uppercase, one lowercase letter, one number, one symbol, but it can't be a dash or a star. And it has to include something like your podiatrist's home address. Because loading that Suburban went just like it. You have to have one boy in the middle row. Boy one cannot sit next to girl one. Boy two can sit in the last row, can sit next to girl two, but cannot sit next to the snacks. And whether we were driving 1,200 miles to Florida or to church on Sunday morning, you could probably find us, for the most part, falling out of the pages of any book titled The Everyday American Ordinary Family. In today's gospel, we find Mary, Joseph, and Jesus traveling like an everyday, ordinary family. Now, it is the only story of Jesus that we hear about between his birth and his ministry when he was in his early 30s. He's 12 years old in this story, and his family travels to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover, like most Jewish families did. But there is a twist in the story. They lost Jesus. How do you lose Jesus? What if, like when he popped up to visit Mary and Joseph to ask them if they would be the parents of the Savior of the world, Angel Gabriel decided to pop up at this moment? "Mary, Joseph, how's our little Messiah doing? I'm just popping in to check up. Did you say you lost Jesus?" Any parent who has lost eyesight of their little one in a grocery store for even 5 seconds knows what Mary and Joseph must have been feeling in the moment they realized Jesus was not with them. Because 5 seconds can feel like 5 minutes or 5 hours. You might think, how can this happen? How can two parents lose their son? The night of my graduation ceremony from high school, my parents drove separate because we had to fit all of my siblings and my grandparents in the car to come watch. When I was done taking pictures with some friends in the courtyard of my high school, I looked up to leave, but my family was gone. My father left thinking that I was in my mother's car, and my mother left thinking I was in my father's car. It was only when they got home to cut the cake that the graduate wasn't home. But thankfully, it was only a mile down the road to come find me. This most likely is what happened with Jesus in our story today. It wasn't child neglect on Joseph and Mary's part. Back in those days, people traveled in caravans. It was unheard of that a family would travel by themselves. In these huge caravans, it was custom that the women and children walked at the front of the caravan and the men walked in the back, which could be sometimes a half mile to a mile long. Think back to when you were 12 years old. I call it the Thanksgiving table dilemma age. You were too old to sit at the kids' table, but you were too young to sit at the adult table and listen to boring conversations. You are in that awkward in-between stage where you don't quite know where you fit in. So most likely, Joseph assumed that Jesus, being only 12 years old, was still walking with the women and children, and Mary assumed that her teenage boy, soon to be a young man, was walking with Dad and the men in the back of the caravan. Now Joseph and Mary, when they found out Jesus was missing, could not simply text or call him or hop in their minivan and drive back to Jerusalem real quick to get him. It took them a couple days to travel back to Jerusalem and another day to find Jesus in a town at the time of about 70,000 people. You can imagine at this point, Mary is an everyday mother, frantic to find her son. And when she finds him, I'm sure she embraced her son, relieved to find him. Then she says, "Son, why have you done this to us? Don't you know your father and I have been searching for you?" And wait for it. Jesus says in reply, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" How did Mary not steam from the ears at that reply? "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house? Joseph, did you hear your son? He's using the whole Son of God excuse again." But Mary did not have steam coming from her ears, and Jesus, even though it sounds like it, was not being snarky or rude. Jesus was essentially telling his parents, "You know who I am. So I am wondering why you would spend time looking in all of these places instead of looking right here in God's temple where you know I'll be." And as parents or spouses, you probably know exactly where to look for your loved one if they are right, if they are not right with you. If I came home to find no one at my house, I know that my wife is probably at the library with the kids picking out books. If not there, she's probably at Target. Or if I had 20 seconds to find my 4-year-old son in my house, I wouldn't bother to look anywhere else but the bathroom where he's flushing Legos down the toilet. Where would you search for your loved one? You probably already know. And Mary, with the wisdom that only mothers have, is the turning point in this story. She changes the narrative of being a frustrated mother with her son who wandered off to a temple without his parents to a mother who understands who he is and what he must do. Mary knows that now is the time to let go of Jesus. Mary knows that the time has come for Jesus to start his work. Sooner than she thought, I'm sure, but now is the time. She has fulfilled her promise to give birth and raise a small boy who would become the ruler of all nations someday. Mary, in her wisdom, lets go. And how hard that must have been. You all, I'm sure, know how hard it is to let go. My daughter Natalie is 6.5 years old. Soon I will have to practice letting go as she starts to ask to run down the street by herself to play with her friends. Maybe you are a parent who had to send your child off to college in another state or somewhere far away, coming to the reality that you have to let go and let your young adult fly out of the nest. Maybe you've changed jobs and you have to let go of the comfort and security of your last job and the fear you face of what your future may or may not bring. Maybe even you're a spouse who had to let go of a dying partner, realizing that God is calling them home. Letting go is not easy. Mary knew it was time, and as she lets go, we see not only her strength, but also her faith shine through. Today at this Mass, we celebrate what is called the Feast of the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. What is the Holy Family? Is it like the royal family? In the past handful of years in England, we have seen two royal weddings, the birth of royal children, and the making of royal princes and princesses. But what makes them so royal? I have news for you. There is no difference between the royals and the commoners. Without ancestry and some old tradition, nothing separates who the royals are and who the commoners are, just as nothing separates who we are. In 1963, the Beatles played a huge concert in London. John Lennon was quite annoyed that the concert venue gave tickets and sold them to all the people who were at ground level of the stage, but the royal family was perched up in a special box to view the concert. John Lennon wanted to point out this inequity and couldn't help himself, so for the last number of the concert, he said, "For this last song, we are going to need everyone in the cheap seats to clap their hands. The rest of you, just rattle your jewelry." So what makes this family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, a holy family? After all, it was an angel Gabriel who came to an ordinary couple living ordinary lives to bring Jesus into the world. They are holy because they are wonderfully and beautifully made by God. They are holy because faith drives their lives. We are also wonderfully and beautifully made by God. We are holy. Make no mistake about it. We are God's holy family. Nothing separates us from that holy family. Too often, people make the mistake of thinking they are no good and they are not a true child of God because of things that have happened in their lives. Mistakes, imperfections, differences and all, we are all holy and good. There was an online viral social media campaign recently where mothers took photographs with their best friends who were also mothers. Each of them held a poster in their hand in these photographs. One mother on their poster, it read, "I only breastfeed my baby," while the others said, "I only bottle feed my baby." One said, "I only buy organic vegetables for my children," while the other said, "I only buy what I can afford to feed my children." Yet another said, "My children get zero screen time." And the other said, "I let my children watch cartoons whenever they want." The campaign was not to show that they disagree. It was to show that with differences, mothers were still best friends, and the mothers lifted each other up, not put each other down. They saw each other as great mothers, nothing more, nothing less. As children of God, we can all see each other as holy people. We can lift each other up by seeing God in other people. You may have heard of the word namaste. The word namaste means the divine one in me recognizes the divine one in you. And today, as we celebrate the Holy Family, I am honored to get to say to you, the Holy Child in me sees the Holy Child in you. You are wonderfully and beautifully made children of God. You are holy. Namaste to you, my holy family. Thank you.
in the spirit of family and friends. And we'll all join hands and remember this moment till the season comes around again. Let us try to smile for the picture, and we'll hold it as long as we can. May it carry us through, should we ever get lonely, till the season comes round again. The season comes round again. Till the next